That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. My predecessor at Broadway Baptist Church, the pastor who was there before me, is now the pastor at Brooklyn Heights Church in New York. And this is a famous church. It's the church of Henry Ward Beecher. His sister was Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote the anti-slavery novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin. There was once a little boy who, from his home there in Brooklyn Heights, loved to watch the outgoing ships. And one day he heard Henry Ward Beecher preach on a harbor as a place of refuge into which storm-tossed ships put into port. "You big chump," the boy said to Reverend Beecher. The boy instinctively felt that the guest preacher didn't know much about harbors. He heard the preacher pronounce the word "safe in the harbor" and "home to the harbor to rest." But the boy didn't see the harbor as a place to snuggle down in for the night, a nice little place to come home to. For all those years, that boy had watched out his window the ships coming and going, and he had seen the harbor as a restless, heaving, always changing place. It never seemed a place where the ships came to dock, but a place from which ships start out into the storms, into the fogs of the seas. Do you ever think that the Christian faith is not a destination, a point of arrival, but a beginning, a point of departure? Do you ever think that the Christian ministry is not a place of rest, but a restless, heaving place? I'm so impressed by Pastor Emerson's 27 years of service. I only made it 7 at Broadway. And I'm impressed especially by the fact that after 27 years of ministry, Pastor Emerson's theme for this year is about investing in God's kingdom. Not resting in God's kingdom now, but investing. Not finally arriving, but still departing. And we have in this scripture today a story from Jesus about this very thing, although you might not think that's what this parable is about when you first read it. A man went out to sow some seed. Some of the seed he threw landed on a path. The seed hardly hit the ground before sparrows came along and ate it up. Some seed went into shallow soil and sprang up. The plants looked like they were going to produce something, but they had no depth. And so when the sun came out, they didn't make it. Some seed fell among the weeds, and there was not enough nourishment there for both the weeds and the grain. And so the weeds said, "We got here first." And finally, some of the seed fell on good soil. and it produced a rich crop. So we have this habit, I think, of interpreting Jesus' parables as telling us what to do. So you should do this, you should do that, you should not be like the shallow soil, you should get rid of those weeds, you should be like the good soil. I think what Jesus is doing here in this parable is not telling us what to do. It's not a command. He's just describing things the way they are, the way things work. And there's nothing really surprising about this at all. Jesus is describing the way things work, the way people respond to the Word of God. And we have seen these kinds of responses again and again in the Hebrew Bible and in the Christian scriptures and in all of history and in our own experience. We have seen this. Wherever the word goes, it's going to be received in one of these ways. There are some people who are like that hard path. The word never penetrates the surface. It just barely gets there and then it's gone. It sits there on the surface and sparrows come. You know, inattention, distraction, something else. And these are not bad people. They just don't seem to have the capacity to pay attention to God. Not bad, just a path, ground. There's also the shallow soil. There's not much depth. The seed springs up, and we're excited, and they're excited. So-and-so has joined the church. So-and-so is going to be baptized. And then what happens? We don't really know what happens, except there's no depth. And we're not talking insincere, just shallow. And they fade away. Sometimes the word falls among the weeds. These are good people, sincere, but they have too many things to do. They do come to church every now and then.
Come on.
It's a cameo appearance.
See.
On the screen, right back off again. They had a list of priorities once. This first, this second, this third. But they lost the list, and now it's just a matter of where they feel the most pressure at any given moment. I would have been there, but... And the sad thing is, what happens when this person gets to be 70, 75 years old, and says, I never really took the time to nourish the Spirit, to pray, to read Scripture, to think about my life and my relationships, to pause and to be thankful to God for all the good that I have, my children, my family, my job, my church. The word falls among the weeds. And then there's the good soil. And it's really a mystery, but somehow, in the middle of this world, there grows up genuine, humble, serving people who love God, they care, they love, they do, they give. And if you were to recite all of the good things that they've done, they'd be embarrassed. Good soil. And so there's nothing surprising about this yet. I mean, this is how it is. We've seen this. We've seen all of these people. We've been all of these people. But here's a rule of thumb that I have for understanding Jesus' parables, and it's this. If I interpret it in such a way that there's nothing surprising or shocking about it, it's time to go back and read it again. A farmer goes out to sow seed. Nothing surprising. Farmers sow seed all the time. And anyone who knows anything at all about plants knows that a plant isn't going to do too well if it's cast, the seed is cast in the middle of a road or in shallow soil or among the weeds. It's not going to grow.
Yeah.
So here's what's surprising. What's surprising is the way the farmer sows the seed. He's throwing it all over the place. This isn't a rich man. He's a poor farmer, a tenant farmer who can barely eke out a living for his family if he not only makes wise choices about where to plant the seed, but is also blessed with good weather and a lot of luck. Good seed is hard to come by. And the wise farmer makes sure to entrust the precious grain that he has to the best of soil. But this one Jesus is talking about tosses the seed around like he's got more than enough. He's throwing it in the street and in the weeds and on the sidewalk. He's lucky that at least some of it ends up in the field. This farmer acts as though that which is most precious is available in unlimited supply. He's not efficient with the word. He's extravagant with the word. He's not efficient with the gospel. He's reckless with the gospel. So what surprising thing does this say about God and about the way we do our ministry? What does it say about how we invest in God's kingdom? So here's how we usually think about doing ministry in the church. Here's how we usually think about investing. Be really careful about how we prepare the soil and scatter the seed and water it. Be smart. Be efficient. The church growth experts and the consultants will help us on this, and they'll talk about looking for the neighborhoods where we'll be most effective and targeting the right kinds of people who will make the church most effective, using the techniques that will be most fruitful, doing the kinds of things that have been proven to bring the biggest yield.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that is well and good. I'm not saying any of that is bad. The only problem is that that is almost exactly the opposite of the way Jesus went about his ministry. He sowed his seed recklessly.
Yeah.
He threw it all over the place,
yeah,
in all kinds of places. It's touching the leper, it's reaching out to the tax collector, it's Mary breaking open the whole jar of perfume on Jesus' feet, it's the prodigal's father killing the fatted calf. It's the extravagant, excessive grace of God. You just throw it out there. And what happens is, some of it's going to fall in places where it never takes root. Some of it will fall in places where it gets a good start but doesn't last. Some of it will get all choked out by competing interests. That's just how it is with ministry. Pastor Emerson has learned that after 27 years. Jesus could have told you that at the beginning. But he also could have told you this, that sometimes the scattered seed of the word finds good soil and grows and produces a bumper crop. And since you can't predict just how or where the seed is going to fall, or when and if it's going to produce, you just scatter it out there and hope for the best. And so the farmer scatters his seed recklessly. And God blesses a farmer like this beyond anybody's wildest imagination. You know, normally the farmer who reaps a twofold harvest would be considered fortunate. A fivefold harvest would be considered a cause for celebration in the village, a bounty only attributable to God's blessing. But this reckless farmer who, in a world of scarcity, casts his seed indiscriminately on questionable soil, as well as good soil, is blessed by God in shocking abundance. Jesus says he has a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold, 100 times what he sowed. We want to be smart and wise. Money is tight. You know, time is hard to spare. Resources need to be responsibly managed. We know about being smart and careful and cautious. We know this. In most of the churches where I've been a pastor, I'm sometimes making a small decision or some minor vote can cause as much deliberation and bureaucracy and voting as getting a bill passed in the Texas legislature. I'm sure it's not like that here, but some places it is like that. But even more important than that, when we're looking at less tangible qualities we value, like love, blessing. There's sometimes the sense that the good things God has for us are in such limited supply that the only good and responsible stewardship is to guard it very carefully and to give it only to those where we're sure it will be effective, and to protect it like the last egg of an endangered bird. But the sooner we realize that we are not capable of managing the gospel, that it cannot be controlled, that it's not an endangered species, the sooner it is possible that the great wind of the Spirit of God will fill the sails of the church and take us to God only knows where. A lot of us would rather stay in the harbor and make it a harbor of destination. Make the church and our faith a place of respite only, where we can huddle together in the wind with our own kind, huddle together in support and solidarity, bolt the doors and the windows to prevent any troubling changes coming in and blowing us away. And you can imagine why we feel this way. I mean, we need peace and stability in the world that we live in. And the Spirit of God does provide safety and comfort and safe harbor. But the Spirit of God also pushes us out to be who we were called and created to be. And so the harbor becomes not a destination, but a launching point. Not a place of arrival, but a place of departure, not a resting, but an investing. The prevailing wind of God's harbor is blowing out, not in, away from the shore. That wind is the Spirit of God. And so here's the thing. If Pastor Emerson is going to invest in God's kingdom, if Rising Star Baptist Church is going to invest in God's kingdom, if you in your personal life are going to invest in God's kingdom, you're going to have to be open to the Spirit of God, who is a wild wind, who blows the doors off and calls us to recklessly and extravagantly scatter the seeds of God's prodigious grace. Once upon a time, there was a young captain assigned to an old ship. And the day the captain arrived, he could tell that his ship was in need of a lot of work and that the morale of the crew was low. And he was not surprised when he was told that the ship had not left the port in a long time. The hull of the ship was rotting, the deck was stained, some of the planks were gone. The sails were torn and old and had large patches on them. Some of the crew members had jumped ship, looking for another ship on which to serve, a ship that was going someplace, any place. The very next day, the captain called the crew together, and he ordered the ship to be dry docked so that the hull could be scraped and sanded and painted. Over the next weeks and months, the deck was repaired, the cabins were cleaned, many improvements made, new sails were sewn and hoisted. The old ship was coming back to life. And then the day came when the captain called the crew together, and some of the old crew members who had jumped ship had come back because they heard and saw what was happening. And other members were new, bringing with them a great excitement, love for the sea. The captain said, "It's time that we made plans to leave the harbor." The crew looked around at each other. The captain, knowing that some of them were fearful, said, "This ship was not made for the safety of the harbor, but for the horizon." And he pointed out where the sky met the sea. "But you are the crew, so you have to decide, will it be the harbor or the horizon?" And for what seemed like an eternity, there was silence. The sounds of the wind and the waves were all anybody could hear. And then one crew member said in a hushed voice, "Horizon." And another said Horizon. And others joined in Horizon. Until the winds and the waves were drowned out with the shouts of Horizon, 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 Horizon. And the captain, so proud of them that he could barely speak, gathered with the members of the crew to plan their first voyage. And the excitement grew until the day arrived. They had planned to haul up anchor, make their way out of the harbor, and the captain gathered the crew all together in a circle on the bow. He thanked them for their hard work, for their courage, for their faith. And then he asked them to bow their heads while he prayed. And this is what he prayed. Lord of the land and sea, what a joyous day this is. A day most of us wondered if it would ever come. But you have given this ship, this crew, new life, new hope. And we praise you. But Lord, you know that we are a little fearful, for we have not set sail for the horizon for a long time. We fear what awaits us there. We know there will be high winds and waves, storms and difficulties, but we also know that you created us for the horizon, not the harbor. And that best of all, you will be our captain, guiding and protecting us. So our captain, we have heard your call to set sail for the horizon, not knowing all that's ahead of us, but knowing all we need to know, that you have called us and that you are with us. Amen. And the ship sailed out of the harbor that day, never to return to it again to rest. And the people on the shore, they all heard stories about that ship, how it sailed the seven seas, how it came through storms, discovered new land. And all because they said, you know what? It's not good enough to just sit here and look pretty. It's time to get out beyond the safety of our own ability and carefully calibrated competence and let the great wind fill our sails and let God take us only He knows where. And oh, the stories they told about what happened next. God has blessed you richly. Do you know that? And you have been entrusted with what is most precious in the world. But the thing is, that priceless commodity only gains value. In other words, the seed of God's word only bears fruit when God's people scatter it with a prodigal, reckless, generous, and excessive abandon. Because the thing is, you can be too careful. And the truth is that somewhere along the way, someone was reckless enough to scatter the seed of the word where you could receive it. And in some of you, it has found good soil and taken deep root, and yielded 30, or 60, or 100-fold. Thanks be to God for that. Thanks be to God.